Welcome to the Real Docs Podcast. Hosted by Dr. Britt Lesher and Dr. Lisa John. Tune in every Wednesdays for new episodes. This podcast does not act as medical advice and should not be used as a substitute for medical care. Please contact your healthcare professional for questions regarding your health.
Hi guys, welcome back to season two of the Real Docs Podcast. I'm your co-host, Dr. Britt Lesher.
And I'm Dr. Lisa Jung.
And today we have a very special episode to kind of kick off season two. We're going to be talking about different celebrities and the conditions that they have. And we're going to be explaining those conditions and talking through, you know, symptoms that could be associated with them and what these celebrities deal with. And then maybe just some like little things that we've seen that they've been doing to treat those things. If you haven't been following along, make sure to subscribe to our YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok to stay up to date on all of season two episodes that we have in store for you. We have lots of really great topics that we're going to be talking about this season.
Welcome back to season two.
That was a nice little break.
Yeah, it was a nice break. And I hope y'all had a good break as well. So let's start.
Let's get into it.
Should we do like ping pong?
Yeah, let's ping pong.
Okay.
We've each chosen three different celebrities to talk about and their condition.
We made sure they don't overlap.
Yes. We're smart.
Yes. Why don't we start with you and then we'll just gonna go back.
So the very first one, of course, she has to be first, is Kim Kardashian. She has psoriasis. I mean, she has a lot of things, but she has psoriasis. And she shares a lot about her psoriasis journey through obviously her show and all of that. And she, I think within the last couple of months, she had posted a video of a big plaque that she had like on her shin, and kind of what she does when she has like itching or redness and like how she goes about treating that. So for those of you who don't know, psoriasis is a type of skin condition. It's actually considered an autoimmune condition, and what essentially happens is your immune system kind of attacks the skin cells and causes what we call proliferation, or, you know, increased cell turnover. So a lot of times people will get a lot of flakiness. There's kind of like a plaque or kind of scab looking lesion that tends to grow. People can have it all over the body. I mean, common places that you'll see psoriasis is in the scalp, right? Everyone always talks about like itchy, flaky scalp. Sometimes people have like that red flaky lesion kind of going down the bottom half of their neck. The other places are kind of the opposite places. We always learned opposite from eczema. So like if eczema tends to show up on like the creases of your arms or the behind your legs, then psoriasis is going to be on the opposite end of that, right? So on your elbow, the front, on your knees, things like that. And that's kind of how you can tell the difference between eczema, because I feel like psoriasis sometimes in the beginning stages, because it's so itchy and flaky and red, like there can be a lot of overlap with eczema, and a lot of people get misdiagnosed with eczema when it's actually psoriasis. Essentially, the treatment for it is to use topical steroids, which is the cream that Kim Kardashian was using to kind of make, like she was making like one of those like medicine wraps where you put the medication on your skin and then you saran wrap it.
To like kind a wet of, wrap.
Yeah, okay. Like a wet wrap. Except she didn't put like a compress. Uh-huh. While I show my leg. she didn't put like a compress or anything, but she did do that medicine wrap, which is kind of helpful for, you know, when you have lesions like that show up and you just want to try to decrease it overnight to really like suction in all of that medication. I think she's also talked about like using UV therapy, so light rays, sun rays, to kind of help with decreasing it, because there's a lot of research around using UV therapy and psoriasis. But a big thing that's very interesting is she always talks about how she hasn't really changed her diet, but she like has tried so many different things. And we know like psoriasis, there's such a big correlation, at least in naturopathic medicine, there's such a huge correlation with like not only like the things that you're putting on top of your body, like the topicals, but also what you're putting inside of your body and your food and things like that. Psoriasis is an autoimmune condition. So is psoriatic arthritis. So I don't know if you guys follow, I know you don't really follow the Kardashians. I follow the Kardashians. It's a guilty pleasure show. But anyway, a couple of years ago, she went to the doctor because she was having like joint pain. So a big thing with people who have psoriasis is that you have the potential of developing psoriatic arthritis, which is essentially you have the skin lesions, but now you also have joint pain and all of those other symptoms that come with psoriatic arthritis. And so she had to go to the doctors and get tested and see a rheumatologist and all of that stuff.
Oof, rough. Yeah. It's so funny because anything skin, including psoriasis, like you said, right, is very telling of what's going on internally mm-hmm. and out, right? So I don't know if she's listening to this, but okay, might want to think about your diet. The yep. thing is, I don't want to assume, but most celebrities, they have personal chefs and yeah. things like that who usually cook things for you. And most mm-hmm. times with celebrities, they do eat relatively healthy, right? That's yeah. why we call them health nuts. But I kind of wonder what you were saying too, of like, if there's any sort of food sensitivity and all that stuff that's probably contributing to her lesions.
Yeah, well, I was going to say like psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis, there's a big connection with like celiac disease and gluten sensitivity. That's like the number one elimination outside of like sugar and alcohol and all of those things that affect the immune system. But there's such a big correlation between like eliminating those foods and like improving, you know, this skin lesions, especially in psoriasis. So that might be something that she could look into, because I know she ain't gluten-free. Maybe Khloe, but not Khloe, Kourtney Kardashian is. I know she's like a real big health nut.
Yeah, but with Boosh and Lemmy and everything. Yeah. I'm going to talk about Lady Gaga, one of my favorite artists. I loved her in A Star is Born. I can't remember off the top of my head what documentary it was, but it was a little docu-series that they had for her and her life as being Lady Gaga, right? Mm-hmm. And in that interview and docu-series, she opened up about having fibromyalgia. Now, fibromyalgia is a chronic pain condition mostly associated with that chronic body pain, so musculoskeletal pain. It can also come with chronic fatigue, a lot of emotional and stress, sort of a picture as well, a lot of sleep disturbances, headache. I know she's a big headache person because I see her advertisement for Nurtec.
Yeah. I've seen those. Oh my gosh.
Like, is this because of her fibromyalgia that she's getting the migraine abortive? Like, I love Nurtec, but anyways, so yep. it's a lot of this chronic pain that also does a lot of impact on your emotional energy, that sort of mental aspect of things as well. It's really interesting because aside from the Nurtec that she's doing for probably the headache portion of the fibromyalgia, for her, she opened up saying she wakes up every day not knowing what it's going to be like. Mm. Is it going to be a good day? Is it going to be a bad day? And I feel like that's pretty typical for a lot of yeah. people who have fibromyalgia. And what's really interesting about fibromyalgia is that there isn't really a known cause, mm-hmm. but at least from what we've learned and what we've also seen with a lot of our fibromyalgia patients is that there is a pretty significant of trauma, whether mm-hmm. it's physical trauma, whether it's emotional trauma, so forth and so on. So at least from our perspective mm-hmm. in naturopathic medicine world, we really kind of delve into what happened that really led to that. I know someone who's had a lot of physical trauma from, you know, multiple car accidents to injuries from sports that led to their diagnosis of fibromyalgia, which yeah. makes sense. There's also a lot of, again, emotional trauma that really prompted people's fibromyalgia. I think with Lady Gaga, there's also probably a lot yeah. of a lot of trauma, a lot of stress,
yeah.
a lot of, you know, the cons of being a celebrity, I'm sure, mm-hmm. that probably either caused and or contributed to her yeah. degree of pain. So for her, she actually opened up about how she kind of goes about whenever she's having a flare and things mm-hmm. like that, right? She usually gets deep tissue massage or deep tissue work. So especially kind of like around the head, neck area, some physical manipulation. They don't really kind of go into what that is. I'm mm-hmm. guessing probably, you know,
adjustments,
manipulations and yeah, adjustments and things like that. And she also does ice baths, are really great because that cold ice feeling really reduces, if anything, kind of floods your pain receptors too, right? To yeah. really reduce or eliminate the pain or even the sensitivity to the pain. And some other thing that she apparently does is a full body compression.
Oh, interesting.
Which is...
Never heard of that.
Never heard of that either, at least for fibromyalgia. Mm-hmm. I know people do it for like the lymphatic
support
for wellness centers and things like that. Mm-hmm. What's really interesting to me, which kind of makes me think about, is a lot of times fibromyalgia patients, even the slightest touch or pressure can actually aggravate their pain.
Yeah.
So I wonder with the full body compression,
it's like overload, like yeah. they just this the signaling takes over yeah. or something.
And I wonder if it's painful for her, which then like kind of goes away with the compression, or
interesting,
maybe she doesn't have that presentation of the
yeah.
you know over sensitivity with pressure, but yeah. at least I thought those were cool. And I'm sure she's on, you know, various medications. Yeah. One of the typical medications we see with fibromyalgia is an antidepressant. Mm. I would say typically Celexa or duloxetine.
Like amitriptyline.
Yeah, amitriptyline, yeah. gabapentin. So I'm sure she's on those aside from the Nurtec.
But it's crazy because there's such a like, I mean, we talk about trauma and like the physical trauma, emotional trauma, but all of those things can have an effect on like the nervous system, which it's just interesting that like these you know, medications that affect neurotransmitters, which affect the nervous system, then now help with like pain signaling and things like that.
You know what's really interesting, alluding to what we talked about a little bit from last episode of season one, NAD is something that would probably be a beneficial trial for a lot of fibromyalgia people, along with just magnesium malate that we talk about, yeah. but because the malate or malic acid part is really crucial for mitochondria.
Yeah. So,
you know, there's a lot to it, you know, other than just throwing medications or even supplements, but really treating what's kind of going on and mm-hmm. at the root of it all, and then utilizing things as we need to. So... that's Lady Gaga with her fibromyalgia. Nice.
We haven't seen Lady Gaga in a while. She hasn't released music in a long while, I feel yeah. like many years. But I know she was like getting into the acting thing.
She's the new Harley Quinn.
Oh, is she? Yeah. Oh, okay. So she's really getting into acting now then. Oh, damn. Yeah, because I really liked her in A Star Was Born. That was such a yeah. good movie. Yeah. Sad, very sad ending, but very good movie. Next is Selena Gomez. So Selena Gomez has lupus, and we all probably saw her journey with like, you know, getting a kidney transplant because her kidneys were failing. Lupus is another type of autoimmune condition that essentially can affect a lot of different parts of your body. It can affect your kidneys. It can affect your heart and lungs. It can affect your blood, your skin, right? People get rashes with lupus. It can affect your joints. So there's a lot of joint pain associated with it. And it's essentially just your immune system sending out attack signals to many different organs. And so you can have a lot of damage to these different organs. And for Selena Gomez, it was her kidneys, which is what started to fail her. And so that's why she needed a kidney transplant, because there was so much damage to her kidneys that she, you know, it was affecting her quality of life. So I know that that's like the big one that we all know that she went through, but she actually had to do chemo. I didn't know this. I mean, this is something that like, medications, there's lots of different medications for autoimmune conditions like lupus. A lot of them are what we consider to be like biologics. So they essentially just turn off your immune system, right? So that it doesn't send the signaling to wherever the damage is being done. So she actually did chemo, and I think she opened up about this in her documentary a little bit when I think it was called My Mind and Me. But she talks a little bit about her journey with like lupus symptoms coming back even after the kidney transplant. And that's just because, you know, the root cause of the inflammation, the autoimmune disease, has not been eradicated, right? Even if you get a new kidney, that's not the root cause of where the inflammation or the autoimmune disease is coming from. And so a lot of her symptoms came back and she had to go, you know, do treatment again. But I think it's something that I feel like a lot of people, it's not one of the more common autoimmune conditions that people deal with. So there's not a lot of people that know about it, but it's just very interesting that this, like, one of the most popular pop stars of our time has lupus, which is such a severe autoimmune condition. And there are so many things that you can do to support, like, from a naturopathic standpoint, there are so many things that you can do to support your immune system to try to decrease inflammation. I feel like with what I've seen from like how she lives her life and things like that, she's not really a big promoter of like natural or healthier lifestyles. Like, she's like, I'm a Coca-Cola and mac and cheese kind of girl. Like, that's perfectly fine. We don't see it every day of her life, you know, so we don't know what she's eating on a consistent basis. But I remember reading this thing about how, you know, the girl that gave her the kidney, how she like, I don't know if this is true. This could be all like hearsay, but
tabloid.
Yeah, it could be. But there was a time where I had seen that the girl that gave her the kidney was like a really good friend. And I guess she was upset with the way that Selena Gomez was living her life because, you know, after she gave her the kidney, she was like, I'm going to make some changes and get healthier and things like that. But I don't know if that's all true, but it's one thing, right? Like, if your symptoms come back right after you've had a kidney transplant, then it's clear that the root cause of the issue has not been solved. And I think that's just like our medical system for you, where it's like, we'll literally give you a whole new kidney, but we won't tell you the things that you can be doing to change the trajectory of your condition, right? So it's just very interesting because it's like someone like her has all of the resources, all of the money, like all of that, but there's still this kind of trajectory of her health.
I read the same article mm-hmm. where I think the friend got mad because Selena Gomez was apparently drinking a lot, right? Yeah. And wasn't there something that like came out even from like the documentary and stuff like that, how like the friend felt like she was kind of forced to give her kidneys or something like that? Because yeah. Somehow, like, I don't know how true this is. I don't keep on tabs on the tea as much as I should. Yet I still
I'm
know
a tea things. Girl. I drink all the tea.
I like tea here and there.
Yeah.
But
I'm usually filling you in on the tea, honestly.
And I'm just like, what? So apparently the friend found out that she was a match, but somehow Selena also found out she was a match when she wasn't supposed to, because it's technically the friend's record, right? Medical record that she's a match. And I guess Selena called her saying it's a match and got super excited, but at that point the friend hasn't even decided, like, yeah,
if
I'm
she
a
was
match
gonna do
like,
it.
Yeah. So I was not also happy to read that article because I was just like, oh my God, here's a new kidney. Let's change things up. And for a systemic condition such as lupus, a new organ ain't going to do it for you.
Yeah.
And even just with organ transplants, there's a lot of high probability of organ rejection failure. Yeah. So kind of want to keep up with the best healthy lifestyles to nurture your new organ.
Yeah, I feel like that's something that we could probably have a whole other conversation about, like, you know, celebrities that promote unhealthy things that are like, we know that they're unhealthy, but they're still like promoted by certain celebrities. So it's very interesting.
Next up is one of my favorite models, along with her sister.
YOLO?
YOLO?
Oh, I thought you said my favorite motto.
Oh, no. No, model. Model. Gigi Hadid. Mm. I do love Bella Hadid as well. And Gigi Hadid has Hashimoto's disease. Hashimoto's disease is also an autoimmune condition where your immune system is now attacking your thyroid gland, which sits on the top of our neck, and basically creates a lot of destruction and tissue damage and inflammation, which then impacts your thyroid function. So typically with Hashimoto's disease, we actually see hypothyroidism or underfunctioning of the thyroid. So common symptoms that people can have, it's pretty broad, I suppose. Fatigue is definitely one of them. Weight gain or difficulty losing weight, depression, constipation, dry skin, hair loss for female patients, irregular periods or irregular bleeding or abnormal bleeding even too. On top of that, fertility stuff as well. Most times, both conventional and naturopathic perspectives, we usually test in terms of labs to see if someone has Hashimoto's. Now, diagnostic end of things for Hashimoto's is that you do need to have antibodies elevated because, again, it's that autoimmune, your immune system is attacking your thyroid gland, right? So typically we'll see anti-thyroid peroxidase or anti-TPO antibodies being elevated. You can also see anti-thyroglobulin antibodies as well. More of the anti-TPO antibodies being elevated is classic, more common to see as well, but you can see elevation in both of those. We kind of touched upon this again last episode of season one, that when it comes to thyroid function testing, we like to see the TSH, which is a signaling molecule to the thyroid gland, and also T3, T4, which are your actual thyroid hormones on top of the antibodies. Sometimes with conventional medicine, especially if they're kind of going down the right route of Hashimoto's, and or managing someone's Hashimoto's with medications and things like that, they will run it. I feel like typically we still won't see it fully. So I will digress on that because we already talked about that. But typical conventional ways, and plus I guess even naturopathic ways as well, is medications. Typically synthetic hormones such as levothyroxine and or liothyronine.
Yeah.
Liothyronine, I feel like conventional medicine is very scared to touch it. I rarely see people on it, which kind of makes it a little funny because whenever we run people's labs, especially with Hashimoto's, their levothyroxine will look okay because they're getting it, the synthetic version. But even for the T3, we won't really see it in a good place because the conversion from T4 to T3 isn't happening. And sometimes people just need a little extra oomph with liothyronine, which is a synthetic version of the T3. So those are probably the common medications. Some people are on the desiccated pork thyroid hormone, but I've actually started, I'm pretty sure it's the same for you as well, where we don't really use that a lot for Hashimoto's or especially with autoimmune end of things, because here comes something that might be foreign to the body, which can aggravate your immune system to be a little more reactive as well. So funny enough, I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's and I was put on desiccated thyroid. And Dr. Britt has seen this where my thyroid was not doing so hot with the pork thyroid. So,
well, I was going to say, because like pork is very similar to, proteins are very similar to our bodies. So there is that thought process of like, okay, in Hashimoto's, it's an autoimmune condition. You're already making an immune response to your thyroid tissue. Here comes pork thyroid tissue that looks like yours. And so that I understand the idea of that. But despite that, people are always still probably coming to us on desiccated pork thyroid. I've seen tons of Hashimoto's patients on desiccated pork thyroid. And yeah, they're usually not doing too hot, which is why they're coming to see us.
So I feel like usually now, even for us, we go more towards the synthetic, like the levothyroxine and the liothyronine. For naturopathic end of things, I mean, there's so many things we can do with thyroid, especially with Hashimoto's. You know, definitely immune system support, anti-inflammatories, herbs that are going to be more supportive for thyroid, for upkeeping the function, diet, lifestyle, stress management, list goes on and on. Now for Miss Gigi Hadid, she's on medication. Mm. I'm going to guess levothyroxine.
Yeah.
They did not open exactly what she is on, but just medication. But speculating here, levothyroxine. She's also doing consistent diet. We do not know what that is, but also for her being a model and all of that, I'm sure some sort of diet on that end.
Yeah.
And then also she's been quoted in an interview that she's on a holistic medical trial.
Oh, interesting.
We have no idea what that means. No idea. I tried looking deeper. I'm like, what does that mean? I'm probably going to guess, knowing Gigi and also her relationship and I guess family with Bella Hadid, we know with Bella Hadid and her condition, she's on a various, you know, supplements and routine and has undergone various functional holistic routines and things like that, which I'm going to guess her Gigi's holistic medical trial is probably something along that line of some sort of naturopathic or functional or integrative medicine, doing a lot of testing and probably supplements and all these different types of things. So
yeah,
who knows?
Interesting. It's so crazy because I feel like her family, like I remember they had a documentary, but like her family has a lot of like health stuff. Like
her mom also has Lyme disease.
I was going to say, yeah, her mom had Lyme disease. Bella and I know too. Bella had Lyme disease.
And more, I think, has Lyme disease.
Yeah.
Too.
So that's very interesting. But it just shows too that like the immune system is like partially an inheritable thing. Like we know in autoimmune conditions and like Hashimoto's is a autoimmune condition that like a lot of it is genetic susceptibility. So it's like you have kind of like the all of the things are there. If you were to come into contact with all of the right things, you could develop an autoimmune condition.
Right. Also common thing that we see, especially with thyroid end of things, right? Going through an acute or chronic amount of significant stress can actually be a risk factor for someone developing thyroid condition, Hashimoto's, or even the opposite autoimmunes of Graves' disease and things like that. But anyways, even more of a key and little hints to manage your stress.
I know. I was thinking one episode, we should just like dive into like stress and stress management. Stress management is a foundational piece of your health. So we'll probably be doing an episode on that soon. So my last one is Jada Pinkett Smith. She got diagnosed with alopecia areata. You probably have seen her. She like at one point shaved her head completely. I think Willow did it too, actually, to like show, I mean, support. Maybe it was a fashion or like an aesthetic thing, but she shaved her head as well. But this was kind of like the thing that set off the whole like Will Smith getting smacking Chris Rock, right? Because he made a comment about Jada's like balding essentially and was called her like G.I. Jane or something like that. But essentially alopecia areata, another autoimmune condition, and this time the immune system is attacking the hair follicles. So there can be so many different types of alopecia depending on where you're actually losing hair. But the type of hair or alopecia that Jada Pinkett Smith was experiencing was the alopecia totalis, which is essentially just like complete balding of your head, which as you can imagine, like hair loss is it's a traumatizing thing to go through. I've also gone through hair loss myself and like experienced bald patches, and oh my God, like there's nothing that will scare the F out of you like losing a chunk of hair. And so I think a lot of what Jada was talking about was she was doing steroid shots. She was doing, she was even taking oral steroids. Her hair was still falling out in clumps. So she just said, F it. I'm just going to shave my head bald and like just embrace it kind of thing. And so that's essentially what happened, which is why she was like bald whenever I think of Jada Pinkett Smith, I think of her bald. But essentially just was like, I'm just going to take matters into my own hands and like just shave it all off. But there actually was more recently an FDA approved drug, a medication. It's like a once a day pill It's a biologic. So again, you're turning off the immune signaling, turning off the immune response. These medications, like while they can be like super powerful and helpful for people, like gaining your hair back, they come with a slew of black box warnings. There's black box warnings of like cancer, as you can imagine, because you're turning off the immune system. You're turning off like your own immune signaling that's supposed to be protective to a certain degree, right? A lot of people have side effects. A lot of people don't. A lot of people take the medication and they don't deal with any of the side effects and their hair comes back and it's like all sunshine and rainbows, and that's great. I think more recently she probably started on a biologic because her hair is starting to grow back. More recently she posted about how like her hair is growing in and she's like hopeful, while she doesn't think she'll make like a full head of hair come back, like at least she has like her little like buzz cut looking thing. But I was like, I relate to that so much. Mine wasn't nearly as bad, but I relate 1000% to that feeling of like, holy crap, I'm losing my hair.
Right. You did all autoimmune, now that I think about it.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Very on theme.
A lot of celebrities have autoimmune conditions, which like, it is very interesting to like analyze, because we know like so many autoimmune conditions, there's like triggers, right? And hormone dysfunction and stress and things like that definitely plays into it, which even for my own story of like getting alopecia, I was like, there definitely was a history for me of like chronic stress, right? So thank goodness I have all my hair back.
Beautiful, luscious hair.
That was scary times. Yeah. Scary, scary times.
Speaking of hormones, actually, one thing I forgot to mention with the Lady Gaga portion, fibromyalgia also has a pretty strong association to hormones as well. So might want to check that.
Yeah.
Even more if you are someone who suffers with fibromyalgia. My last one. I kind of wish I said it as a first one after your Kim K one, because they got some history.
Oh, yeah?
They got a little history.
I forgot which one you're doing.
Pete Davidson.
Oh, that's right. Oh, Mr. my God. This is my favorite
Mr.
one.
Mr. Steal Your Girl and Date Everybody. So, Pete Davidson, it's so funny because we've had separate conversations before we were even doing this episode, before we were even prepping. Somehow just talking about Pete Davidson and just being a little worried because the man looks just so not well, you know? And we were always just like, what's going on? What's going
It's not giving Big D energy.
Yeah, it's just like, I just want to take care of you. And maybe that's why a lot of women are just like wanting to date him.
Yeah.
Who knows? Anyways, Pete suffers from Crohn's disease. And Crohn's disease is an autoimmune inflammatory bowel disease where you have chronic inflammation of your GI tract. And Crohn's disease is kind of characterized as a mouth to anus inflammatory bowel disease because it can definitely happen within more maybe lower side of the tract, but it can also happen with the upper side of the tract. So common symptoms of Crohn's disease is abdominal pain, diarrhea with blood occasionally, or some sort of rectal bleeding, mouth ulcers, low appetite, and even losing weight. You can have fever, a lot of kind of that flu-like symptoms, like an illness symptom. Mm. And guess what? If you are losing blood, especially within your stool, you're probably going iron deficient and probably leading to iron deficiency anemia, which guess what we were talking about prior to this episode with Pete? We were like, wow, he looks like classic someone who has iron deficiency anemia.
He just looks sickly, and that like discoloration underneath the eyes, you know, just like the paleness, like there's just not like circulation happening, right? And I mean, I don't know his like diet or lifestyle or anything like that. It seems like he does a lot of like the unhealthier things, so he's probably not replenishing his iron stores at all. But right. So the big D energy, and the D is for deficiency. he has a big deficiency of something.
Big deficient energy.
Big deficient energy. Oh my God. Was a good one. High five for that. We
Poor
got it.
Pete. Sorry. But that was a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't want to assume, Mm-hmm. But him being a comedian, he does stand up here and there, and also being on SNL, there's a lot of stress. There's probably not a lot of like healthier options or even time to opt for healthier things sometimes if you're so busy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, conventionally, what's out there is medications, typically a biologic, kind of like what Dr. Britt was already alluding to with various different ones, where biologics are turning off your immune system. That comes with a whole slew of side effects, risk factors. Most times, I will say, I have a lot of Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis patients as well. It's kind of 50-50. Some people, they do really well, they respond really well, and they'll be able to be in remission. Some people, they'll be on it, but as soon as they try to come off of it or even don't really react really well, so it doesn't really do much for them. Not really under control. Naturopathically, there's so many different things that we can do. Again, anti-inflammatories, a lot of, you know, gut healing. A lot of folks with inflammatory bowel disease also have a lot of gut microbiome dysbiosis, a lot of digestive dysfunction because you have structurally things that are putting you at that risk of developing dysbiosis, maybe even pathogens coming in, parasites, infections, that sort of a thing as well. Now, for Mr. Pete, what he's actually doing, and he's opened up on one of the talk shows, is using cannabis for his Crohn's management. Now,
I have a little... Let it out. Just let it out.
I don't like it. I don't like it. Now, I don't like it. Cannabis, we know in terms of it being used for chronic pain. I love that portion. Yes, cannabis is great for chronic pain, whether it's for cancer, whether it's for even fibromyalgia probably. And I would say probably a lot of like the inflammatory bowel disease or a lot of like immune stuff too. Because cannabis helps to modulate the pain by working on our endocannabinoid receptors by decreasing the exaggerated sensitivity to the pain, as well as decreasing that pain sensations. Now, we know in terms of cannabis, and I'm going to guess probably most likely smoking end of things. Those are a lot of carcinogens that are also coming in, right? A lot of smoke inhalation, a lot of things that are burning that are that carcinogenic activity.
Right.
That actually does more harm to you than good. That is also increasing oxidation in your body, creating more inflammatory cascade, yada, yada, yada. So it's actually doing more harm. Even in ingestible, you know, edible and things like that, a lot better. But with cannabis, there's always kind of the concern of, you know, THC being a psychoactive. If you like that, then sure, go ahead. I think there's just a lot more of a targeted approach that we can do if someone wants to use the specific benefits of what cannabis does for you for chronic pain and things like that. Naturopathically, we can do a lot of endocannabinoid support. So using things like CBD, removing the THC end of things, we're also getting a concentrated amount of CBD to really take an effect. Even PEA, which is a palmitoyl ethanolamide, which is a component within hemp that doesn't have the THC component. It's not even considered a marijuana product because it doesn't have chemically certain things that touch upon certain receptors. Whatever, that's boring stuff. But PEA is also really great for that anti-inflammatory and immune system support as well. And then on top of that, we can do a lot of gut healing end of things, you know, really healing up the integrity of the cells, really getting the bleeding under control, really calming down the immune system.
I'm glad that we ended with that one because I'm still like big deficiency energy.
It's like a, you know, like a found missing puzzle to our puzzles.
I was going to say when you texted me that he had Crohn's, I'm like, I had like a literal mind blowing epiphany. I was like, that makes so much sense why he looks like that.
You are the biggest proponent of he probably has iron deficiency anemia. And iron deficiency anemia, especially in men, very
common
to see with Crohn's disease or even ulcerative colitis. So
I was going
to
say the one of the first patients I had on our IV shift was a young man, and he had Crohn's. And that was like my first patient that I did iron IVs on when we were students. So I'm like, I always think about him. Yeah.
I think we had I never had him. Oh, actually, no, I think I have had it.
I think he's definitely like he probably came multiple times. Yeah. So he probably saw a lot of us. So that wraps up season 2, episode 1. And this is going to be our little like summer edition season. So we're going to be sharing lots of really good things to be aware of for the summer months coming and that are here, actually. Make sure to tune in every week. We're dropping new episodes every Wednesday. And like we said in the beginning, make sure to follow us on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram. You can listen to our Spotify or Apple podcasts for those who like the visuals and the faces that we make and all of the little tidbits that we add into our video, then I would highly recommend you watch on YouTube. All right, guys, be real
and stay well.
We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Real Docs Podcast. Don't forget to like and share this episode and follow us on our social media pages. Tune in every Wednesday for more episodes.